Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask that You would give us eyes to see and ears to hear of the glorious riches of Your grace that are given to us in our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6, we'll begin reading at verse 24 and continue through the end of the chapter. Leviticus chapter 6 at verse 24. Leviticus chapter 6 at verse 24. Hear now the word of our God. Also the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, This is the law of the sin offering. In the place where the burnt offering is killed, the sin offering shall be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. The priest who offers it for sin shall eat it. In a holy place it shall be eaten, in the court of the tabernacle of meeting. Everyone who touches its flesh must be holy. And when its blood is sprinkled on any garment, you shall wash that on which it was sprinkled in a holy place. But the earthen vessel in which it is boiled shall be broken. And if it is boiled in a bronze pot, it shall be both scoured and rinsed in water. All the males among the priests may eat it. It is most holy. But no sin offering from which any of the blood is brought into the tabernacle of meeting to make atonement in the holy place shall be eaten. It shall be burned in the fire. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we have the great privilege of dining with our Savior. But as we are about to approach the sacrament, let us first be fed by the Word of God and be reminded and taught of the holiness of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. In our passage, we are given instructions surrounding the sin offering. For those who have been here since I started the series, you remember the purpose of the sin offering, don't you? Or has it been too long? But the sin offering was to be offered for sin that was done by an individual, also by a priest, a king, and sins of the whole congregation of Israel. In the case of sins of the congregation of Israel or of a priest, a bull was supposed to be offered. If it was a king, he was to bring a baby goat, and if it was a lay person, then the animal was supposed to be a baby goat or a lamb. It sounded better than killing a kid, but anyway, we'll go with that, baby goat. In the case of the sins of the congregation, or a priest, the blood was to be, as my Old Testament Bible professor would say, they whooshed the blood onto the altar, around the altar. It was sprinkling the blood all around the altar to cover it, and it was also brought inside the holy place and sprinkled on the altar of incense, which was symbolic of the prayers of the saints going up before the presence of the Lord, and also on the veil in between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, which symbolized that there was a covering of blood between God and the people. All of this is pointing forward to the work of Christ. We covered some of that before. But now in chapter 6, we are given more instruction in this section specifically to the priests and how they are supposed to carry out this offering. And coming to this section, we should pause. Of course, we would realize that all the sacrifices given by the Lord were to be regarded as holy. Our God is holy, holy, holy. And so anytime we are in His presence, we should recognize that we are in fact in the presence of the thrice holy God, and that our worship of Him must also be holy. But God specifically says to Moses at the end of verse 25 that the sin offering is most holy. And as we read over this section, we get more and more of a glimpse of just how holy the Lord considered this offering, as we'll also see with the trespass offering in the next section. The rules that the priests were supposed to follow were that the animal that was sacrificed was to be killed in the temple and later in the tabernacle and later in the temple, in the inner sanctuary next to the altar. If it was an offering given by a king or a common person, then the priest would eat the meat. If it was for a corporate sin of Israel or a priest, then the entire animal was to be burned. Everyone who touches the sacrifice once the animal has been killed must be holy, ceremonially, and set apart as a holy person, which meant only the priests. And even the person that brought the sacrifice in had to be ceremonially clean and holy as well. If the sacrifice was to be eaten, it had to be eaten in the tabernacle. Couldn't go outside the tabernacle. And you had to be completely ceremonially clean while you ate it. If the blood of the animal got on any clothing, which it definitely would have gotten on the clothing of the priest because they had to kill it, they had to skin it, they had to take all the stuff out that's not going to be on the sacrifice, right? For the children, all the poop has to go out. That's not to be burned. So all of that, well, there's definitely going to be blood on the priest's clothes. Those clothes had to be washed in a holy place in the tabernacle, and even the pot or bowl that was used to wash the garment had special instructions attached to it. If it was a pot or bowl made out of clay, it had to be broken, never to be used again. If it was an instrument made out of metal, brass, bronze usually, that had to be boiled and cleaned thoroughly so that there was no blood left in it. What does all of that tell us? Well, it is obvious to all that our God is jealous for our worship and that our worship must be done according to His commands and not our desires. It is also clear that our God is holy, and that our worship of Him also must be regarded as holy. But specifically, there is attention here given to the blood of the sacrifice, and that it is holy. This is the blood of an animal that, as the author of Hebrews makes clear, is not able to take away sin. And yet the Lord wants His people to treat this blood as most holy. Why? Because of what it pointed forward to. The Lord is teaching His people just how holy they were to regard the blood of Christ. And in this picture, we are also taught how we are to regard and handle the blood of Christ in the sacrament. Children, why is the blood of Christ so special? Why is it so special? Why does God want us to regard the blood of Christ as most holy? Why should we regard the blood of Christ most holy? Literally, the phrase in this passage is the holiest of holy. Why? In the Bible, the blood represents the life of a person. And it is either innocent blood or guilty blood. The blood of Christ represents His life, and specifically that He gave up His life being perfectly innocent for our sakes. So how do you regard the blood of Christ? How do you regard the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross? Children, when you think about Christ on the cross and Him giving Himself up for you and for your sin, how seriously do you consider that? Do you regard that very truth as holy, as sacred? If by Christ shedding His blood for you, you are saved from sin, from death, and from the devil, would you not regard His sacrifice on the cross as the holiness, holiest of holy? Would you not regard His blood as most holy? It is sort of like when you go to a military cemetery. When we were in Hawaii, we got the chance to go to the cemetery there where all the soldiers that died in the Pacific Theater of World War II were buried. And it's, in a sense, a holy place. You don't go play on the field there. You don't spit on the ground. You don't go yelling around like a bunch of yahoos. Because you respect the sacrifice that those men and women gave to protect freedom. I know I'm an American, but you get the point. That is nothing compared to what Christ has done for us. Think about this now. If the blood of Christ is so holy, how is it that we who are unholy are able to partake of this blood? If the very symbol of Christ's blood in the Old Testament was to be handled with the greatest of care and regarded as most holy, so that even the pot that the clothes that had blood on it were soaked in had to be thoroughly washed, that the only people and things that were allowed to touch the blood had to be holy and ceremonially clean, how is it that we may drink now what symbolically points back to the blood of Christ? This body, this flesh, this human soul that we have left to ourselves is dead. Unclean. Unholy. So how can we drink this? Because it is by the blood of Christ that we are made holy. It is by the sacrifice of Christ and the application of that sacrifice by the Holy Spirit that we are transformed from being nothing more than open graves full of death and defilement to be transformed into temples of the Holy Spirit. Think about that rich and beautiful imagery of how in the Old Testament the blood was only supposed to stay within the bounds of the tabernacle. And now Christ has given us His blood to be in us. His cleansing sacrifice is in us. It's sprinkled on us. It covers us. So that when the Father looks out upon us, He does not see our sin. He sees the innocent blood of His Son. He sees the life and love of Jesus. We drink this holy drink. We partake of the most holy sacrifice of Christ. Not because we in ourselves are so holy, but because of the sacrifice of Christ, we are washed, we are cleansed, and we are made holy in His presence. And so as we partake the body and the blood of Jesus, let us be reminded that we cannot partake left to ourselves. We can only partake because that blood is given for us. And it is given to us to make we who are unclean, clean. We who are unholy, holy. If this is the blood by which we are saved, we better treat it as special and sacred and holy. Because this is by the shedding of Christ's blood that we are given eternal life. And it is the only way. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, who are we that You would allow Your Son, Your only begotten Son, to come into this world and die in our place? That You would send Him who is holy, 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 to come and dwell among us and to save us, and now to be handled by us, to partake of Him. Heavenly Father, such grace and love is so far beyond what we can comprehend. It is so awesome. And we pray that You would feed us now, nourish our souls unto everlasting life, by the body and blood of our Savior. May we rejoice that our sins are washed away and covered by the blood of Christ. And may we give great thanksgiving in Your presence that it is by the broken body and the shed blood of Christ that we are brought near to You and adopted as your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.